You feel as a parent sometimes like you're in the fifth quarter. I know there's not five quarters, but yeah, it's kind of overtime parenting, and you don't see the end. You don't see the buzzer. You don't see anything coming, but more challenges. As a parent, it can be a great joy, but it can also be a challenge. You thought by the time your son or daughter was raised and went off to school or got involved in life that that would be it, but you're still challenged with things, and you want to help them and love them, but at the same time, you're in the overtime part of the process. I'm Dr. Randy. I want to welcome you to Intentional Living, and I intentionally picked this best of program for today because I think it's such an important topic, and the calls are so powerful as they share their stories that we want you to add in and be a part of it on our comment line. And really the question is, if you're a parent of an adult son or daughter and you feel like you're in that fifth quarter of parenting, what are some of the challenges you're facing? But even more so, I think more helpful would be, what's one thing you're doing that works, that helps? Hey, we'd love to hear your comment. Again, all you have to do is call us at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Tell us, you know, what are you learning? What is God teaching you? What works for you in your overtime parenting? Let's get started with callers, with Richard in New Mexico. Hey, Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Randy, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
Well, I listened to your some of your people that were talking earlier, and man, that it really hits home. I've had a lot of problems with my two younger kids. I have five kids. Three of them are doing really great. My older ones are doing really great. It's the two younger ones, and they're the 20, and they're not that young. They're 28 and 20 years old. They've had problems with drugs. I've brought them back in, my son especially. I've brought him back in. I've paid like lawyers like enormous amount of money just to keep his record clean, so he can, you know, so he can live a decent life without any felonies on his record or anything like that. And now I'm got the point to just frustrated and just tired. I'm just very tired. It could pretty much have just wasted me.
Yeah.
I love my kids. I've been saved for 10-15 years now. I'm like, I still read the Bible is, you know, it talks about compassion, talks about love, talks about all this, and it's like, well, so I've been going on that basis. Mm-hmm. You know, listen to the, it's nothing but, it seems like nothing but just lies so they can get to their next step or, you know, get
well,
by or whatever.
And is he still on drugs?
Well, not now. Supposedly not now. I mean, it's hard for me. It started off with heroin, then he did some meth, and then he's gotten to the point to where I don't know what he's doing. You know?
Is he living at home?
Right now he is.
Right now he is.
He's on probation. He's on probation, but it was something that his mom allowed him to come back into our home.
So you're not in agreement. You and your wife are not in agreement on this.
No, in fact, we've split up.
As a result of this.
As a result of this, yes.
Well, Richard,
and I take a lot of the blame for it because I show a lot of compassion for these kids, and I show a lot of faith, and I've you've seen your kids grow up since they were babies, and you know what their possibilities are, you know what they can achieve down in your heart, but it seems like in theirs they just don't agree.
There are heads all over America that are shaking up and down saying, I agree, I hear you. That's exactly my story. You know, you look at these little babies and they grow and you develop and you see their potential and some of them make good choices and been good kids and have been active in the church, even maybe gave their life to Christ, and all of a sudden you see they turn south and bad choices. And we're seeing a pattern. There's been the calls that we have gotten for today and in past programs, drugs, alcohol, there's substances, there's addictions, there's things that overtake a person's life. And whenever we get a person that's on a drug or some substance, they can't think clearly. I mean, it's overtaking their life. Until that is dealt with, really getting clean is sort of a barrier to start making some better choices in other areas. In other words, you can't be an addict and be making good choices down the road. Eventually, for a while, and then boom, it bites you. And so the question, a couple things, Richard, I would really encourage you to you guys think and pray about. you and your wife, if this is the issue, if this is the issue, you and your wife are going to be better together than apart. If you can get on the same page and say, we're in agreement, we've got to do something together to help these kids. We love them, but we've got to stand together. And practicing some tough love in terms of setting a decision, a direction you're going to go, a goals that you're going to set, and habits you're going to develop, and sticking with it can be a powerful thing for you and your spouse. Now, to do that, you may want to get some counseling. The two of you get some outside people, who counselors that deal with addiction, who can look you right in the eye and say, look, mom and dad, this is what you got to do. In other words, you move it out of your heart, you move it to your head. There are times you got to move out of your heart into your head. And I think this is one of the times when you're dealing with having to be tough, standing together. If you let your heart drive you, it's going to take you in the wrong path. And as you know what, I'm glad you have a heart like that. But there's times where you got to move it up to the head and say, hey, this is a decision because I know it's the right thing to do. We'll be praying for you. Many others will be too, Richard. Appreciate your call.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
The first thing is shame. The second thing was what? Blame. Blame. And when we blame others, like our spouse, the world, the church, the government, it's just a quick escape from guilt. That's the definition of blaming.
Wow, that's a thought, isn't it? When you blame someone, it's kind of sidestepping, getting out of the way of the responsibility. Come on now, we all face it, don't we? That's an excerpt from the teaching this month. I'm very excited about it. I called it Who Pushed Humpty, from that little nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and had the great fall. And all the king's horses and men couldn't put them back together again. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. It was only Jesus that could put us back together. And yet we still have, according to Genesis chapter 3, the setup for a throughout history of these things of shame, blame, and pain. And the secret here is to take responsibility. One of the laws of intentional living. And this lesson is going out, by the way, to all of our members. You all should have it by now. It comes electronically through the email. A video and audio copy, and you're thinking, well, I support and I didn't get it. I want to keep reminding you, for any reason, let us know. You can call our office or email and let us know. Maybe check, first thing to do is check and see if it's not caught in your spam filter, because I know sometimes I get things and they get lost there. Or to those of you, we still send out CDs to those of you who are using that technology. You can contact us. Just go to theintentionallife.com. To join in support. Be a part of the membership team. We'll get this to you every month, a brand new teaching, plus a brand new flip book of intentional moments that you're going to enjoy. Something to be very encouraging. Just go to theintentionallife.com. All right, we got Sue on the line. She has some encouragement for us from Missouri. Hi, Sue. Go right ahead.
Hi, Randy. How are you today?
Good, good. We need some encouragement on this topic. Help us, help us.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you, because I've listened and I've lived your teaching for many, many years. And next month, by the grace of God, I will be married 40 years. So raised two daughters, and I just want to thank you. And I want to encourage each and every listener to write down what you say. You speak truth. And as hard as it is, do something. Do one of those. Try something different, because where you're headed doesn't always work.
Right.
First off, Randy, I'd like to. My first name is Tondra, and when I heard on the radio you had a Tondra,
yes,
I couldn't believe it. In 1960, when I was born, my mom got my name out of the newspaper, and I've never heard another Tondra.
Huh.
So
there you go.
The Tondra that what first prompted me to this call is that what she was saying in the encouragement is stand together. Even for Richard, the Lord just has always, it's hard for me.
Oh, I'm having a little breakup with your phone, Sue.
Can you hear me, Randy?
Yeah, I think your cell phone's losing signal a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to get in a spot because I know that this is really encouraging.
All right, don't move. You're right there, right now. There you go.
Okay. Stand together as parents. Have your children be accountable for their actions. Make your stand as a parent for what you know is right and trust God. And then that standing is hard.
Yeah.
Walk forgiveness and love your children. Like you said, let them know that you love them. And don't be separated. Don't make a triangle. Stand together. Even if you don't agree, put a united front on and have the courage to stand. Speak your truth and stand. Set limits. Set your limits like you're talking about. And when you emotionally want to fail or go back to the old pattern, stand with your partner.
Now, is this something you've experienced? Is this something you had to do in your marriage?
Absolutely, Randy. And I'm doing it today. We have a we have some situations in our family right now. We have backing up, our grandson will be 19 next week, and at 14 he was diagnosed with brain cancer. He is a miracle.
Wow.
And every story I could give you, that young man should be gone, but he's not. And we stood with our daughter, we stood with our son-in-law. We've had lots of challenges with in our family, because I am a very bold, outspoken, as my daughters say, non-filtered person at times. But I learned a long time ago that God makes us that way. We got to refine it and work on it. But God created people just like me. And we have a granddaughter right now that is this young man's sister, that we've got a bad MRI in her brain, Randy. And you know what? I told my daughter, we stand.
I think we stand
on God's promises.
And I think the message is not only you stand on what God's promises are, but you also stand together as a couple, which is encouragement for us. Thank you for your call and for joining us today. We're talking about bailing out our adult children. When do we do that? When don't we do that? There's a hard side and a soft side to this whole process. And I think on the soft side, when you step in and help your children, here's just some principles to follow. One is when they're hurting, but they're trying to change. In other words, they're really working on it. They've gone through some tough times. You see some positive growth. You feed positive growth, all right? You starve negative growth. You feed positive growth in a person's life. When there's an unexpected problem, no fault of their own, it happens. Obviously, we step in and help. Or when there's not a pattern of irresponsibility, something's happened, maybe they were irresponsible, but they've learned and you're helping them. When helping, you know, benefits them long-term in their growth. It's not just a short-term, you know, take the pain away, but there's a long-term benefit as you know you step in and help them at this point. And on the hard side, however, is when you have to draw some lines and maybe cut off some of the support that you've given in the past, is when you know they're hurting, but they're not working to change. They're not willing to take any responsibility. In fact, there's a pattern of irresponsibility. And when you know helping them is only a stopgap in the process. Now, what do you do when there's grandkids? How do you do that? Because that's a big question. I'll talk about that in a moment. If you've got a thought on our comment line, it's 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
Life isn't always happy. Life isn't always positive.
It's true.
Where do you go when things just aren't working for you?
Man, you know, I know the place to go is the Lord. I don't always go there, I got to tell you. And I pay for that. You know, when we turn to something else to try to medicate the pain that we're facing, you know, that's the wrong way. It's a temporary fix, and it's only going to leave you worse off in the end, you know, because there's only one who can really heal. There's only one who can really satisfy, and that's Jesus, you know. And when I run to Him, man, I find hope and I find peace and I find restoration, you know, and I find life that is in Him. Because He didn't promise us that it would be all roses, you know. He really didn't, you know. In fact, one of the verses that I've been just kind of walking through in the last 5 years has been, you know, in this life, you will have trouble. But don't be afraid, because I've overcome the world. For a long time, I thought, like, Jesus, if you've overcome the world, then what's the deal with the trouble then? That means we should not have to go through the trouble. it's an incredible opportunity because he says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in him is what is the victory that overcomes the world. That's in the midst of the trouble. We encounter his goodness. We encounter his love. We encounter all that he is. And people are wondering, why can you have peace in the midst of your worst day? You know, that's not an emotion, man. That's encountering a person. That's God in our life, right? He's the place where we need to run. He's the place where we find help.
You know, that's a Big Daddy Weave. You hear him sing, but you know, behind that voice, there's a heart, big heart, and a heart after God. And I'm really pleased to announce that Big Daddy Weave and his wife will be with my wife, Don, and I, and Evan and Kelly Carlson from our family ministry and here at Intentional Living on the 2022 cruise to Alaska. Boy, we'd like to have you be a part of it. I'll tell you more in a moment. But you know, as I was listening to him speak and about the upcoming cruise, I was thinking, you know, when I do something like this, I'm going to invest in something like a cruise. I just don't want to be out there by myself. I like to be in a community of others where we can share and learn, plus have all of the experiences of a cruise, all the sightseeing, everything, just have that great week. And that's why we've put this together from Intentional Living. June 12 through 19, we're going to have a breath of fresh air by then. That's our prayer. And boy, I'll tell you what, we'd love to have you be a part of it. Limited cabin availability for the 2022 cruise to Alaska, June 12 through 19 from Intentional Living. Available cabins today, but limited. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and get your cabin today. Come and join us. We'll look forward to seeing you, meeting you, and being a part of the week with you come June, okay? All right, let's get back to calls. Hey, Root is in Arizona. Hi, Root, appreciate your call. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
My question is, my daughter, she's 26 years old. She's kind of stubborn. She don't listen. She don't ever follow us. Even me and my husband, we start arguing with each other. Finally, we come in one, you know, we decided, no, if she don't listen to and she don't respect our house, she don't, you know, do what she want, we keep forgiving her, forgiving her, forgiving her until she's 26 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Finally, I said, she been bringing a boy to hiding in the room. We find out, we asking her, is he your boyfriend here? No, it's not here. And then finally we find out she having in the room. I ask her, you did that couple of times already. She said, no, I didn't do it. Okay. Now you're lying to us in front of us. Mm-hmm. You're lying to your dad. You're lying to me. This is unacceptable. I don't accept this. I love you, but I can't do this anymore.
So what'd you do? You
know, I just tell her, you can move. You can live wherever you want, but not over here.
And she left?
She left.
Okay.
She left. I keep calling her. I said, just hi, how you doing? Nope. She don't want to talk to me. And I saw her one time. She didn't even want to say hi. Want to come pick up her stuff, and she left.
Yeah, because you didn't do what she wanted you to do, and you didn't measure up to her expectations. And you stopped being that kind of mom and dad that just gave in to whatever she wanted to do. She could get away with it. Now, let me ask you a question, Harut. Was that true when she was a teenager? She could do what she wanted, and you kind of looked...
Oh. Yeah, you've been forgiving her so many times. She did. Yeah. And I said, don't do this again. Okay, she did again. And I told you already, and she just keeping, she don't even care anymore.
Mm-hmm. Are you feeling, what are you feeling now? I hear maybe what, guilt?
Yes, guilt. But yeah. Maybe I shouldn't even forgive her or something. And I said, no, she don't even respect her own dad. And we live, me and my husband, we've been married for 40 years. Actually, April 2nd is going to be. And then after I have 5 kids, all is wrong way. They don't believe Lord. All our life, me and my husband, we grown up in church. We're still Christians, but our kids is not.
Yeah.
It's hurting us so bad.
Well, Haru, let me just share a couple of things. Your story resonates in a lot of people's hearts because they've been through it. I think we need a new definition of forgiveness because you mentioned the word, I forgave her. Forgiveness in your definition implies when I forgive, there's no consequence. And let me just share, as a Christian, God has ultimately forgiven us of our sins for all of eternity so we can live with him, right? But that doesn't mean there's not consequences for the sins that we've been through. If you have abused your body for years and years and years, and you give your life to Christ, and you decide you're going to change the way you live, and you the direction you're headed, and God saves you for all of eternity, and you're a new creation in Him, you're likely to wake up the next day and still have a body that's pretty broken. And it's going to take time to heal some, or maybe not at all. And as Christians, we need to understand that as we're parenting our kids, here's an example. Let me give you an example. You've got an 8-year-old son, and he comes and he does something. He disobeys. You know, he's blown it. You've asked him to do something. He lies to you, and he comes to you, and, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. You know, the good news is I forgive you. I love you, and I forgive you. However, you're still grounded. You're still going to your room. You're still lost your video game. There's still a consequence as a result of your disobedience, but yes, I forgive you. And so when it comes to even with adult children, yeah, I forgive them, but I'm not going to take away maybe some consequences. And so I would encourage you, Harut, and your husband to get on the same page and really pray about changing the definition of how you view forgiveness. That's the tough side. They're hurting, yeah. They're not working to change. And let me add another thing, Harut. I wouldn't call her.
Okay.
I'd stop calling her. I'd give her space. I would just back off. She knows where you are.
Yes.
Give her space because she, you know what? She knows how mom works. She knows what buttons to push and how to get away with what she wants to get away with. And I would give her some space and back off, and you and your husband work on the other children. Sound like you have other children. Remember, many times what we do is we focus so much on the one hurting child in the family, we ignore the other ones. And in the process, those kids grow up with their own things of saying it was all about them and not about us. And while that's understandable, it's still hurtful. Okay? Let me get Mary on the line. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment or question?
My comment is I have two daughters that started drugs in their teens. They each had children, and it just as an adult, it just completely got out of hand. And at one point, I ended up with 5 grandchildren that were the ages of 5 down to 8 months. And I had them for about 2 years. And at that point, well, I went through just a point of, I got to fix my kids. I got to fix my kids. You know, I got to help them get fixed. And I almost had a nervous breakdown trying to figure out biblically what I was supposed to do, you know, for my children to fix them. And I finally realized that for the grandchildren's sake, I had to cut ties with my two daughters. And I had to put them on the altar. I just told God that he has to do the work in them. And since then, one of my daughters, she is now home and has been clean for 7 years. And through that process, when she first came back, she had to learn to be an adult. And so I helped her with her 3 children that she took back, and I had to help pay some bills, and I had to help teach her how to budget, and it was the things that she should have held on to from when she was a teenager when I was teaching her those items. But she is now 35 and clean and a fantastic mother and a fantastic adult.
That's great.
I still have 2 of the grandchildren, and the mother of that one is now 32 years old, and I've taken her to rehab after rehab, and I finally, the last one I took her to, I said, I can't fix this anymore. If you want rehab, you're going to have to get the transportation. You're going to have to get the money. And I cut her off. As heartbreaking as that was as a mother, I still drive by and make sure she's still alive. But she is still out in that world.
Well, I think there's a Mary, there's a couple of things I'd like to comment on before we run out of time that you said that are really important to reinforce. One was the fact that you took care of the grandkids. And sometimes this is complicated because there's kids involved, and we always have to make the kids the priority. And sometimes kids are taken away. They need to be protected, and they need to be in a safe environment because obviously the number one priority is to make sure the children are going to be safe. The second thing I heard was that there was a point you woke up and said, hey, if she wants to get healthy, I've made everything available to her I possibly could. I put the banquet table out, and she's rejected it, or she's trashed it. And now if she wants to get help, she's going to have to do it herself, figure out how to get the transportation and how to work on it and make it. I'll tell you what, we don't appreciate, and isn't this true in life? We tend not to appreciate what comes easily to us. It's the things we have to work toward, we have to work hard at, that we tend to appreciate the most. And so in this case, to say, hey, I've got a problem and I'm going to deal with it, it's my issue, she's more likely to get resolved in her life. All right. Thank you, Mary. And thanks to all of you who've called. Love to hear what you thought, what you're thinking about this topic and what your thoughts are as you hear calls coming in today. If you have a question or comment you want to add to our discussion, all you have to do is give us a call at 888-888-1717, and we would enjoy hearing from you.
Yes, Dr. Randy. I've been listening to your radio program for the past couple of weeks now with regard to what one lady was talking about, her 19-year-old who's wayward. I've been there. My parents stayed praying for me. They didn't assist me with what I was doing when I was disobeying what I should be. But like the Bible says, train up a child the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You know, it took me until now. I'm 30 years old now, and I'm finally coming back to where I should be. And I'm seeing the fact that what my parents are telling me all this time is the truth. God's capable of doing anything. We just have to be able to step out of ourselves and get out of His way and allow Him to work the miracles that He wants to.
Isn't it interesting how smart our parents seem when we hit 30? You know, today talking about adult children, just hang on. I found sometimes some kids grow up in a different space than others, time-wise, and takes a little longer to get through some of the process. And so keep loving them and see what God continues to do in their life. That's what we've talked about here today. And again, if you have a comment about adult children, what you've learned, what's been the challenge, as we said at the beginning of the show, tell us a success story. You know, what helps you in raising or listening to or supporting or putting boundaries in place with your adult children, whatever. Tell us on our comment line at 888-888-1717. And again, I want to thank those of you who are praying for us. Thank you for your support. We're in this new year. Boy, do we need your help. Your financial support really matters. Next time in Intentional Living, we're going to talk about marriage. I hope you come and join us. We'll see you then.